Welcome into the newest edition of the Naked Bootleg podcast presented by the Boston Herald. We are taping this on Wednesday, September 6th, so one day until opening day for the Patriots. Adam, pretty amazing that we're here, but pretty exciting as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a big day. It's going to probably rain tomorrow night, and we're looking at a game, I think, where there's a lot of unknown surrounding this team, and you don't know exactly what the offense is going to look like. You don't know exactly what the defense is going to look like. Jeff Howe wrote in today's paper for us about how the defensive front seven is it's sort of a good thing that we don't know exactly what they're going to throw out because they can apply pressure from so many different places. So I think that's one of the main themes you got coming into this Chiefs game is we really don't know what this defense is going to have in store. And I think you're going to see that too with the offense. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like either.
Yeah, we're going to have Kevin Duffy with us in a few minutes here and get into everything Pats Chiefs and do some season over-unders at the end of the show also. But I totally agree with you that, you know, with a lot of new pieces on both sides of the ball, really. The Patriots obviously didn't do any game planning, didn't do any real strategic stuff in the preseason. So this is going to be all of our first, you know, unveiling of, you know, Stephon Gilmore in this defense and Brandon Cooks on the offense and all the new running backs and all the new pieces that this team has that this roster turnover, even from a Super Bowl winning team to now, is pretty incredible. And none of us really know what to expect or what they're going to pull out, but we just know that it's probably going to be pretty good. So it's going to be fun to watch. And the Chiefs, I feel like, are, not to pick on the Chiefs, but they're a perfect team for this little first game experiment because they're good enough where it's enough of a test, you know, for the Patriots. But they're probably not quite on the Patriots level talent-wise across the roster. So, you know, it gives the Patriots a really nice little tough game one where they have to take it seriously. You know, they're not playing Jets week one or anything like that. But, you know, also a good barometer nonetheless. But we're going to get into some key matchups that we see in this game across the board, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball. And the one that I wanted to start with was, you know, this is a game with two of the best tight ends in the league. Obviously, Gronk, we all think, is probably the best, but maybe the second best tight end in the league right now is Travis Kelce on Kansas City. And I really think it's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots match up against Kelce. And I have a theory on it, but I wanted to hear your take on it, Adam.
Well, I think he's somebody that you'd like to see Patrick Chung try to cover. I also think Kelce is a guy that'll move around so much that he's not just going to be with Chung the entire time. They split him out all the way wide sometimes. They bring him a little bit in into the slot or in line or anywhere. And it feels like, you know, I'd like to see if the Patriots are going to defend him like that with Chung. But it's, you know, he's such a good, big, athletic tight end that, you know, I don't think you're going to see him with just one guy the entire game. I think they're going to, you know, not man cover him the entire game either. They're obviously going to mix in some zone. He's also somebody who can come in and block in line a little bit. And, you know, he's a very difficult guy to get ready for because they just do so many different things with him. But Chung is one of those guys where I feel like he's probably one of the best in the league when it comes to being able to cover versatile guys like that. So I think the Patriots would like to use him. But who knows? Maybe he gets matched up with other guys throughout the game. The way the Chiefs use him with screens and everything, it makes him a more difficult cover than almost any other tight end they'll see, because it's one of those deals where they don't just line him up one way or another. They use him all over.
Yeah. So from our my friends at Pro Football Focus here, 274 snaps in the slot last year, 174 out wide as a classic wide receiver for Kelce. So they definitely move him around. About 50% of the time, he's not in line as a typical tight end. He's kind of got some Gronk to him, but I think he's more, you know, of a wide receiver, a little bit more wiggle to him than Gronk does, less power. The guy that I thought that maybe they might try out on him a little bit if he starts to go off is Gilmore. I could definitely see them just saying, all right, we're going to treat Kelce like a wide receiver every single time that he's not in line, and put Stephon Gilmore, put our top cover corner on him. He's obviously their best receiver. And a few years ago, I think it was against Jimmy Graham, that they tracked Aqib Talib tracked Jimmy Graham for most of the game. I kind of saw Kelce, if he's, I think Chung will definitely get his chances at him as well. But if Kelce really starts to have a big game, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of use Stephon Gilmore in that same van. I mean, obviously Gilmore is a big bodied athletic dude that can really match up well with guys like Kelce and other big wide receivers. So I especially on a team like the Chiefs where Tyreek Hill is really their number one receiver, who's more of a quick, fast guy. So you probably expect to see Malcolm Butler on him most of the game. I think that instead of wasting Gilmore on, you know, Albert Wilson or Chris Conley or whoever it may be as a second Chiefs receiver, maybe you see him play a little bit more on Kelce, which I think is would be a heck of a matchup. I mean, that's Chung and Gilmore versus Kelce is about as good as it gets. So that's definitely one that I'm going to be watching to see if it happens, because that's going to be a showdown of epic proportions if it happens. And it'll be a chance for Patriots fans to really see Stephon Gilmore in game one right away go up against an all-pro caliber player across the, you know, the field. So that'd be really cool to see. Moving on, the next one is a similar, you know, strength on strength matchup that we had, and that's Marcus Peters versus Brandon Cooks. Peters is a guy his rookie year who had a similar rookie year to Devin McCourty, where it was a lot of time he was targeted a lot of times and he picked off a lot of passes, and the stats looked good, but you know, some of the advanced metrics didn't. Then last year he really took a leap into that next tier of cornerbacks where he's a top five, top 10 guy. So he's a really good player. And then obviously Brandon Cooks, I think that really here it's mainly how are the Patriots going to unleash the Brandon Cooks in this offense? You know, all of us are wondering that, I think, and we all have theories, but none of us really know for sure if he's going to play more of a of, you know, an Edelman type role. Obviously, I think it's going to be more vertical than what Edelman did, but you know, stuff. Or is he going to just be a traditional X wide receiver outside the numbers? You know, going deep on defenses all day. You know, it's kind of up in the air, but either way, when we see it unleashed, it's probably going to be against Marcus Peters, which is a great matchup.
I think it is. I think Peters likes to play off coverage a lot. It's not like he's a press man guy. So I think he's going to do what, you know, you can do when you do that, which is try to take away the deep threat. And he's, you know, going to try to force Brandon to sort of cut off his routes short and be more of a, you know, an intermediate and short passing route guy. I think Peters, you know, I think he's a good player. I think he's got good ball skills. I don't think he's necessarily as good of an athlete as some of these other guys he goes against or some of these other corners you'll see. I think he likes to keep things in front of him. So that'll be difficult with Cooks. I'm not sure exactly how Cooks is going to be used, and I'm not exactly sure how many targets Cooks is going to get either. It's not like he got a ton in that Detroit preseason game, and that was sort of the one game where we got a chance to get a chance to see this offense with a game plan. So I think they're going to try to go to Cooks, of course. But even if they do with Peters, I'm not sure if, you know, they're going to really, you know, go deep to him too many times. They might, but I think, you know, Peters is going to really try to take that away.
Yeah, Peters is a guy that, you know, it's definitely risky to target him. You know, 14 interceptions in the last two seasons combined. You know, it's you know, proceed at your own risk when you throw it, especially deep on a guy like that. And, you know, not that Brady is afraid to throw it at anybody, but I wouldn't be surprised either if Cooks is pretty limited in this game targets-wise and they go to other options away from Peters, because he'll pick you off just about as good as anybody in this league. Do we have Kevin Duffy with us? Is he there?
With us from the dentist.
There we go. From the dentist. Nice.
Poppers, man.
White, clean teeth.
Yeah, sorry for the delay, guys. Apologize about that.
All good. So we're talking a little Marcus Peters versus Brandon Cooks matchup right now. And mainly we're going to get into how the Patriots are going to use Cooks out there, because none of us really have seen it quite yet. So what do you think?
I just caught the tail end of what you guys were talking about, and I agree. I think, you know, the Pats, the number two cornerback spot seems to be a position of relative weakness for Kansas City. I know they just put Steven Nelson on IR. I'm not actually even sure who the number two is.
I think it's Gaines, right?
Right. That's correct. So I think you're always looking to target and exploit an opponent's weakness. And for Kansas City, the weaknesses that stand out are the number two cornerback, and they really weren't great against the run last year either. So I don't know if Cooks will receive, like, you know, 8 to 10 targets in this game. I think it could be less than that. I think Chris Hogan is going to be a guy who they'll throw to quite often. Gronkowski, you know, I don't think there's any, like, bad matchups for Gronkowski, so I think he'll be heavily involved as well. And I think they'll be able to run around Kansas City too.
Yeah, and Kevin, I know we were talking the other day that there's a possibility that, you know, with the way things have played out so far, that Brady could, you know, sort of see Hogan as the number one anyway going forward, in just terms of how he, you know, if we use these things like number one and number two receiver, that's one thing. But, you know, Brady could see Hogan as a guy that, all right, I trust this guy. I had him last year. I'm going to go to him more than Brandon Cooks to start off the year anyway. So in that respect, you know, maybe at some point, you know, Peter switches off and starts covering Hogan instead. So it's one of those deals where it's almost like pick your poison, because the Pats have a bunch of guys now, even with Philip Dorsett, who I don't think we're going to see as much of an impact this game, you know, who can go vertical. And like we said earlier, you know, Peters is a guy that can stop that vertical game with how much he plays off, and he likes to keep guys in front of him.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Hogan lead them in targets early in the season. You know, there's going to be games when Cooks has 6 catches for 140 yards and 2 TDs. I just don't think that this particular game is going to be one of them. I mean, you and I have talked a lot about Hogan this offseason, or since the Edelman injury. He had an awesome summer even before Julian got hurt. And I just think he's, you know, he's right there with, I think there's a clear separation between him and the rest of the guys. I think Cooks and Hogan are the clear one and two. And Malcolm Mitchell has just been banged up. Like, he really hasn't consistently been at practice all summer. So I really view Hogan as the clear two, I guess, to Cooks. And then there's a drop off And then you got Dorsett, Mitchell, and Amendola. And as you said, I don't know if we'll expect to see Dorsett much in the first couple of weeks. I'm sure eventually they want to integrate him into the offense, but I'd be surprised if he played any kind of significant role on Thursday night.
Yeah, I would agree with you all there. And Chris Hogan, we'll get to a little bit later in the over-unders, but I think we could be headed for a 1,000-yard season for Chris Hogan, which is pretty crazy to think after, you know, where he started in this league as a undrafted free agent lacrosse player to a guy that could be a 1,000-yard receiver. But
a Belichick lacrosse guy.
Yep.
You got to get lacrosse into the show at some point, you know. All right, so moving on to the next one here, which is an all-pro matchup with Justin Houston, who is just one of the best pass rushers in the NFL nowadays. Only played 5 games last year, had 4 sacks. So he's pretty good, and he's going to go up against the Patriots' tackles here. It lines up mostly on the left side of the defense, so I think we'll see him a lot against Marcus Cannon. But we'll see him against both guys, and they like to move him around, obviously, to disguise where he's coming from. Patriots didn't really have to deal with him too much in 2015 in that playoff game, but they're going to have to deal with him a lot tomorrow night. So what do you guys think of Houston as a player, first of all?
I think Houston's an excellent player. We'll see. I think you're right. They'll try to line him up against Cannon, but I think that he would have more success against Solder just because Solder, Cannon's been the team's best offensive line or best offensive tackle. And I thought he was their best offensive lineman last year, but I think he's their best tackle right now. So I think if the Chiefs want to gain some consistent pressure on the outside, he'd be better served lining up on the right side. Now, will he do that? I don't know. But if they put him up against Cannon, I think, you know, Cannon has the ability to neutralize him some. But, we'll see. I mean, Solder's been hurt or he's been out. And we'll see just exactly what he's capable of here. But I think that, overall, Houston's probably going to get some pressures, but he'll have better opportunities to really make a huge impact if he's going up against Solder.
Yep. This is an interesting matchup, and there's a lot that goes into it because not only you have Houston, who, as Evan noted, he was really not himself when the Patriots and Chiefs last played, so we didn't really get a good look at him. You have D Ford had 10 sacks last year on the other side, so you have guys who can bring pressure off the edge, and you have an offense that now without Julian Edelman, I wonder how effective they can be with the quick hitting passing game, getting the ball out of Brady's hands quickly to negate the pass rush. So if they're running routes and they're running plays that require Brady to hold on to the ball longer, it's going to put even more pressure on those tackles to do a good job with the edge rushers and obviously the guys inside too. But so I think the element of a pass rush against Brady becomes more of a factor when you take Edelman out of the equation, because I don't know if they have someone who can get open as quickly as Edelman can.
Yeah, absolutely. They I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but Brady definitely holds onto the ball in terms of like time in the pocket longer when Edelman is not out there than when he is by a marginally good amount. I think that, with Solder, both Solder and Cannon were pretty good last year. Solder kind of gets a bad rap because he was horrible in the Super Bowl. But for 18 games or 17 games for him, he missed the first game of the season. He was pretty good. I tweeted out a stat last night. I thought it was crazy that he allowed 29 pressures in the first 17 games of the season last year and then allowed 13 in the Super Bowl. It's an incredible split. Cannon, on the other hand, was just great in pass protection all year, one of the better pass-protecting offensive tackles in the league. So I definitely agree that Houston, in this game particularly, is probably going to try to exploit that Solder matchup as much as they can. And like you said, D Ford is no slouch either on the other side of the ball. So, they're going to have bookend pass rushers. It's interesting. I mean, I think what we're going for here is that, you know, a guy like James White or Rex Burkhead, if it ends up being him, could have like 10 catches in this game. It would be just getting rid of the ball, you know, to save his life. So, you know, I could definitely see all that coming to fruition for sure. Solder, I would hope that they, with his first game back, he hasn't really practiced much. If Justin Houston, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, is on his side of the field, some chip blocks, some running back staying in is probably a decent strategy in that. But we don't usually see the Patriots do a ton of that because they really like to get all five guys out into the pass route. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But with Nate Solder, I mean, what can our expectations be? You guys have been there. And he's been hurt this entire preseason, pretty much.
Wow. I still think he's a very good player. You know, like you said, I think people, you know, don't quite appreciate what he is sometimes around here because they sort of expect every player to be perfect. But I think Nate is still, you know, like we've said before, Evan, a top 10 tackle in the league, or a top 10 left tackle in the league. And, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting, though, to see, you know, he didn't play much at all. And so, you know, we need to sort of see him come out this game and see what he's like. Obviously, I think his same strengths and weaknesses are going to be there. The guys he has to get lower on are going to be tougher on him just because he's so big. But I still think, you know, even though he's getting up there in age a little bit, that, you know, he's effective, and, you know, he's gonna have a good season. But, you know, if he does have a drop off, I think it would be pretty steep. I mean, the Patriots did not draft two tackles for no reason. They feel like, you know, that something is coming down the pike with him. So I feel like they, you know, that Solder at some point soon is going to have a drop off. Now, you know, whether that's right away, who knows? But the Patriots, you know, are sort of planning for it.
Yeah, you know, Solder had missed a lot of time. He didn't play in the preseason game. He missed a ton of practice time, but he's not on the injury report right now. So all indication is that he's going to be fine to play in this game. Same case for Dante Hightower, Gilsley, Burkhead, guys who have missed a good chunk of the summer. A lot of them aren't listed. So I think the Patriots are in relatively good health here heading in.
Yeah, that's a good sign. And with Solder, obviously, free agent at the end of this year, also getting a little long in the tooth. So, you know, obviously the Patriots have been planning for it with the draft to move on from him, I think. But I think they also are expecting that he's going to get a pretty lucrative deal in free agency this next summer because the tackle market is just insane. So, yeah. You know, guys like Mike Remmers and Khalil are getting the money that they get, then Solder is going to demand, you know, top of the market tackle money. So it's pretty crazy to see some of the numbers out there. But that's all we got, I think, for the Chiefs game. Although if there's anything else, Kevin Duffy, that you want to throw our direction that you're thinking about heading into this game.
No, I think I'm ready to move on to over-unders.
Oh, yeah, he's excited about the over-unders, isn't he?
So I got a list that I put together last night. It's about 15, 16 things. So the first one I had was Gronkowski TD receptions, 15.5.
Jesus.
I mean, oh, we're going high on some of these.
Man, that's I got them in fantasy, so I love that. Yeah. Dude, that's pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, I think his all time high is around that. Like
his all time high is 17.
17, yeah.
I'm gonna say under just because he could have an excellent season and he could be healthy and still not achieve that mark. And then the odds of him getting hurt are always I mean, it's always pretty significant. He's really dealt with a lot of injuries over his career. So I'm just going to say under, because that seems like the safest bet. But I kind of see where you're coming from, because all signs are pointing to him having a monster season if he's healthy. He's going to be even more of a focal point with Edelman out. And he seems to be, at this point in the summer, in as good health as he's been in years. So I think it's possible that he just has an absolute monster season. I'm still going to go under, though.
Yeah, I'm going to still go under, too. But I wanted to ask you about Gronkowski. He looks a little skinnier. Do you think that that is by design, or do you think that that is just, you know, a coincidence heading into the season?
I wouldn't have noticed that until he was asked about it yesterday at the press conference.
I only noticed it when he did that thing with the kid in the backyard, where they went and they've set up a field for him back there, and Gronk showed up. Yeah. And he just, without pads on, he looked pretty svelte.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that he is. It all depends on how heavily he's using this TB12 diet, because I mean, look at Brady's very skinny. I think that diet just probably lets you shed 5 extra pounds, and it's hard to find extra pounds on someone like Gronkowski. He's pretty much as ripped as you can be, but he might be. He said yesterday he's not, but then he said he's leaner and meaner, so I think he was just saying words. I'm not sure if he's skinnier, but he looks great. He looks great this summer. He looks to be in great shape.
All right.
Adam, you didn't say over or under on the
under too. But you know, I'll give my reasoning for some of these that coming up. But Gronkowski games played 13.5.
I mean, that's just a coin. It's a coin flip. Like, there's really no way to know. I'll go over, just because. I mean, the only way he doesn't do that is if he has a major long-term injury. So, like, he's been nicked up in past years, like when he had that bone bruise against the Broncos and he only missed one game. So it's possible he gets nicked up a little bit and misses like one or two games, but if he has a long-term injury, obviously he'll end up missing more than 3. So it's a coin flip. It's just a pure guess, but you know, he's ended the season on IR, I think, in 3 of the past 5 years. So maybe the odds are with him to get through a full season healthy.
Yeah. I'm going to say over too, just because I feel like that, you know, sometimes they'll rest him for the game if they've already clinched, and, you know, maybe another game. So I think he could, there's a possibility he plays like 14 games. But I think he'll be over.
I'm going over also. I'm expecting big things out of Gronk this year. For some reason, I think he's going to stay healthy. That's probably wishful thinking on my part, but I really do.
Okay, we got Flowers sacks 11.5.
I'm going to go under on that one. Flowers had, I think, 9.5 in the final 12 games. That's including the playoffs. So he finished the year on an absolute tear. But this year, he's going to really command a lot of attention from opponents. And I think the sack numbers are it's always kind of hit or miss, because you can make a disruptive play and not get the sack. You can essentially funnel the quarterback to another rusher, and we see that happen all the time. So I think that, you know, that's a lot, 11.5. It's possible that he gets there, but I'm just going to go under on that one. Don't feel great about it, but I will say under.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a year, I agree with your under, that you have like a bunch of guys with a couple sacks. You know, Malcolm Brown has a couple sacks. Alan Branch has a couple sacks. Larry Guy probably has more than a couple, you know, stuff like that. And it's kind of more spread out across the board. So I'll go under also.
I think I'm going to break away from you guys and go over and say he gets 12, because I do think he's going to move around a lot. I think he's their best pass rusher when, you know, unless you want to throw Hightower in there, I guess. But you know, when he moves on into the interior and he gets on the outside, I think he's going to get a ton of snaps. I think he's going to, you know, like Kevin said, I think he's going to command a lot of attention, but I think this is going to be his best year. And, you know, he came on towards the end of last season. I think he's going to carry that over into this one. I think he's going to have a huge year. Next is James White catches 59.5. Last year he had 60. And then you had come in with this year with so many other guys. So, you know, he's obviously, you know, a guy that catches the ball a lot and has Brady's trust. But is that going to be enough for him to get to what he did last year?
I'm going to say under. As you said, a lot of guys. I think Rex Burkhead is going to chip significantly into James White's catch totals. Burkhead, I could see playing on – I could see them – if Burkhead's the early down back, I could see them leaving him on the field on third down. And then Deion Lewis is going to have some games where he plays a decent amount too. So I just think by nature of the amount of guys in the backfield, it's going to be tough for James White to hit that mark again.
Yeah, that's a fair argument. I'm going to go over though, because I think with the Edelman injury, James White is skill set wise maybe the closest guy that they have that can do those little, you know, short option routes and stuff. I could see him lining up in the slot a lot this year, in different formations, and maybe getting some of those dink and dunk passes that you would normally see go to Edelman, maybe they go to James White. So I'm going to say over, even though I do agree with your points about the loaded backfield.
This one was a hard one for me, but I do think he'll go under too, just because of there's so many guys, but it could go either way. Mm-hmm. The next one is Gillislee touchdown runs 9.5.
Oh man, that is a tough one. I didn't look at any of these before, so I'm just guessing off the top of my head here. I'm actually going to go over on that one. I think the Patriots are just going to score so much. I think they're a team that's going to average, I could see, in the low 30s. Like last year, Atlanta averaged 33.8 points a game. That was like the seventh best scoring offense of all time. I could see the Patriots in that vicinity. So there's just going to be a lot of touchdowns to be scored. He's going to be the guy on the goal line. I'm not necessarily predicting he's going to have like a 1,100 yard season like LeGarrette Blount did a year ago, but I think he could get 10 TDs.
Yeah, I'm going over on that one as well. Blount, too many touchdowns to replace with Blount on the ground. He'll get to at least 10.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think that's another reason why I have Gronkowski under on touchdown receptions, because a lot of times they'll have Gronkowski as sort of like the go-to guy when they have nobody else to throw to in short yardage inside the five. But I think they can give Gillislee some of those carries, and he'll get in there. The other one is Brandon Cook's touchdown receptions, 10.5.
Under. I'm making a hand signal right now. No one on the podcast can see. I will go under on that. I think he's got
bad radio.
Yeah, what is he average? Like 7.5 a year?
Oh, yeah, right around there.
I think eight last year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he had 8 last year. He's going to have plays where he, you know, he's going to have a 65-yard touchdown, an 80-yard TD here and there. But he is only 5'10". He's not exactly like a tremendous red zone option. I think that 10 – what did you say, 10.5 is the over-under? Yeah, that's just a lot to see him to get to 11, especially if we're predicting Gillislee to have double digits. I think Gronk, if healthy, is going to have double digits. I think that's just a lot to ask. You figure, like, Brady will throw – let's say Brady throws 40. So Gronkowski has 40 is probably a lot. But, you know, they have other options. Like, Gronkowski, you're probably going to have in, like, the 12, 13 range in that case. Hogan's going to have – I think Hogan could have more than Cooks, honestly. And then you spread it out, the RBs, and then Malcolm Mitchell will have a few. Amendola will have a few. I don't think he'll get to 11.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm going under also.
Yeah. All right, I agree with you guys there on that. But not, we're gonna go. This one will be interceptions. All right, but for each, Gilmore 4.5, and Butler 4.5. I believe they were both around that last year. I think mm-hmm. Gilmore might have had 5 last year. I think this is one of those ones where you could see over for one of them, just because it's going to be hard to throw away from one of them, you know, because they're both on the field at the same time. You can't really hide. So both of these guys are going to get their fair share of balls thrown at them. And I think at least one of them will get 5 and the other one will get 4. I'm not sure which. What do you guys think?
I'll go over on Gilmore, under on Butler. I think Gilmore is just going to be in a position where he's covering receivers who are going to be targeted more often. So I just think there'll be more balls thrown Gilmore's way because he's going to be covering like Julio Jones, Mike Evans, those type of players. And just by nature of how many balls are thrown in his direction, I think he'll have a better chance to top 5 interceptions.
Yeah, I'm expecting a big season for Stephon Gilmore. Really think that he fits exactly what the Patriots want in a cornerback with the safeties behind him. I'm gonna go over, and I might predict an all-pro season for Gilmore. I think he's really going to ball out.
Yeah. All right. How about points per game, 33.5?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's 33.5 is a lot. I said, yeah, Atlanta, I think, was 33.8 last year. I'm going to go under 33.5, but I do think they'll be like in the 32 range. I think to become one of the top 10 scoring offenses of all time, you got to average 32.7. So I could see him being around there. I think, I mean, that's a good over under because that's like right in the area of where I foresee them. I'm going to go slightly under 33.5.
Yeah, I think the 2013 Broncos have the record at like 37 a game or something like that, which is just crazy. With Edelman, I think we would be pushing over 35 or 33.5. But without him, I would say under also.
Yeah, me too. How about points allowed per game, 16.5?
I'm going to go over. So last year they were at 15.7, I believe, and that was the best scoring defense in the NFL since 2013. A lot of that, not to take anything away from the defense, they won the Super Bowl. They were obviously a good defense, but they played just a comical schedule of quarterbacks last year. They played, you know, Osweiler, Landry Jones,
Bryce,
Jared Goff, Fitzpatrick, Colin Kaepernick. Like, they just played probably 8 of the bottom 10 QBs. This year, you're looking at Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, Roethlisberger, if he's healthy, when they play them in week 15. Cam Newton, I think the Panthers will have a bounce back here. So they're just playing better offenses this year. 16.5 is a really low number. I mean, I could see them like in the 19-ish range. And that's if you're talking about an average score of like 33-19, like you're still winning comfortably each game, but I don't think they'll be below 16.5.
Over for me as well.
Yeah, I would say so too. And then now we're getting in some Brady ones. How about yards passing, 4,800?
Wow. Oh man. Do you have the numbers off the top of your hand? What do you have? He only played 12 games last year.
He averaged about 295 yards a game last year. So you're looking at, you do the math.
How? I'm gonna say we got 48. I'm gonna say under. Probably not by too much. I think the Patriots. One thing that's we haven't really got into is that the Patriots really wanted to have a balanced offense last year. They were at 53% pass, 47% run a year ago, and I think they're gonna be in that range again this season. I think they want to run the ball. They don't want to become the Saints where Drew Brees is slinging it 45 times a game and the Saints are throwing for, you know, 5,500 yards. I think that they want to run the ball and they're going to have a balanced attack. So for that reason, I'll say under 4,800 for Brady.
I think the interesting thing with that, not to get too off topic though, is can they run the ball when it matters? You know, last year they were pretty 50-50 in some of those regular season games that, you know, against some teams that they obviously were going to beat. In the playoffs, it got way pass heavy. I think it was closer to 60-40. So it'd be interesting to see when the playoffs come around if they can still, you know, rely on the run game. Because last year, especially in the Super Bowl, obviously with the score being what it was, is a little different. But even still, against Houston, they pretty much bailed on the run altogether. I'm going over 4,800. I think Brady gets to 5,000 this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I think it's going to be right around that, but I think I'm going to agree with Kevin there that it's going to be just under.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, I think the running back game will be effective enough that they won't have to chuck it as much as they need to, at least in the regular season. Did we do the Hogan one yet?
Nope.
Okay, Hogan receiving yards, 850.
Over. I gotta chill out with the Chris Hogan hype here this preseason, but I've been like really peddling him pretty hard. I think he's just had an awesome summer. He looked like their most consistent receiver at times throughout the summer. I think he has great chemistry with Brady, and he's going to have an expanded role. Interesting to note, Mike Lombardi, who probably knows the Patriots as well as anybody in the media, is projecting Hogan to play the slot. So that's going to mean probably a lot of targets for him. I just think he's going to be a huge part of their offense. So I think he's actually over 1,000 this year.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think he's going to be over 1,000. The only reason I could see him going under that is just the number of guys that could catch passes this year. But that's where I think he'll be like 1,000, 1,100, something like that.
Yeah, I went over too, and Lombardi's point to his point. Hogan last year about 37% of the time in the slot, so still a pretty good amount. Yep. Even with Julian Edelman out there, it was other than Amendola, who didn't play anywhere near as many snaps as Hogan did overall. It was second most on the team for guys that played at least 50% of the snaps on offense. I'm pretty sure. So I would expect Hogan to play a lot in the slot as well.
All right, now this next one is sort of a ridiculous one. I know what people are going to say, but, you know, I'm only doing this to compare it to 2007, which people have done.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brady touchdown passes, 49.5. His record is 50.
Right. I'm going to say under, just because it's such a high number. I mean, it's how many QBs have got to 50 before? Just Brady.
It's Brady and Manning.
Brady and Manning, right? Yeah. It's, I mean, the odds are just not in favor of that happening. It's not a crazy prediction, though. I mean, they're going to have a very good offense. The loss of Edelman does, I think, hurt, and we might be underestimating it. We'll see when they play against Kansas City just how much they do miss Julian Edelman, but that's just a lot of TDs. I'm going to go under.
Crazy thing about Brady is, other than that 07 season, he's never gone over 40 in any other year in his career. He had 39 a few years ago, but other than that, he's never gone over 40 again other than in 07. So I'm gonna go under as well.
I'm going to go under, but I do feel he gets like to 42, something like that. I think he's going to have a huge year. And then I guess that the last one is the only one we can do from here is wins, 12.5. Duffy, I know we talked about this the other day. I got him at 13-3.
Yeah.
And what's yours?
I had him at 13-3 when I had to make my prediction, but I didn't feel good about the three losses that I gave him. I'm picking him week two against the Saints to lose. I'm going to stick with that one. I had him losing on the road at Denver, and I think I was just searching for another loss, so I gave him week four versus Carolina. I think Carolina's going to be good this year, but that's a home game in week four. That would put him at 2-2. I don't know if that's going to happen, but anyway, I think it might be 14-2. So I'm going to go over there on 12.5. They do I think the numbers don't say they have a difficult schedule. I think they do, kind of. They do have that stretch of they're on the road for 5 of 6 weeks late in the season.
Yeah.
So it's possible they slip up and they lose one of those. Some of those are good teams. You're talking about Denver, Oakland, Pittsburgh, at Miami on Monday night. So those are not easy games. But still, like, they're just – I just think they've got a really complete roster. They've got a great team. I'm going to go over 12.5.
Yeah, us stats nerds have tried every single way possible to predict strength of schedule other than just looking at the record from last year. And yeah. A lot of places have the Patriots as having one of the easier strength of schedules. And I look at the schedule and I can't believe that that's the case.
Right.
I mean, like, you're telling me that the Browns or one of those last place teams from a year ago have a harder schedule than the Patriots, who play the NFC South, one of the best divisions in football, play the Steelers, play the Raiders, play the Broncos. A lot of tough games. I think that they're 12-4. I think I would have said that they were 14-2, maybe even 15-1 if they had Edelman. Without Edelman, I think it gets a little bit more interesting. I think some of those teams that they're playing are getting a little bit underrated by, the perception right now. So I think that they are 12-4, but I admit that that's a little bit pushing it.
Yeah, I think the AFC West and the NFC South are two of the tougher divisions you'll find in football this year. So, I don't think it's going to be easy. But and their schedule is so weird with those 5 road games in 6 weeks. So,
yep,
I think they'll lose some games, and it's hard to project at the beginning of the season which games a team is going to lose, because you don't know ever really how it plays out. I mean, they're going to be the funny thing about when people were predicting them to go undefeated and all that stuff is that they're almost always favored anyway. It didn't really matter if they're going to be really good, because, there's always a game during the year where they lose to a team they shouldn't, most likely. So I think, with Edelman, that's an easy over, but like you said, Evan, but I think they're 13-3. They'll lose to somebody they shouldn't on one of these road games, or, even at home, who knows. But the NFC South is tough, and then they get these first place teams. So, I think they go 13-3.
I kept track of all of these, so we can go back at the end of the season and go through which ones hit and which ones missed on there. But there's a pretty good list. I think we covered pretty much every guy, and a lot of tough ones. Good job, Adam. You picked these out. So
I always love a good over under. I can talk. Adam and I actually do spend oftentimes much of the day down at Gillette talking over unders.
We knew you were the guy for the job. Kevin, what do you got coming up next 24 hours with kickoff tomorrow night?
I got to finish my preview for the game. It's been such a kind of crazy week, because everything is shortened with the roster cuts and then the quick turnaround for the Thursday night game. So I haven't really spent much time writing about the actual matchup between the Chiefs and Patriots. So when we get off, I'm going to finish watching some of the Chiefs preseason games. I was watching their third game against Seattle, just getting a feel for some things this year. I mean, there's like Justin Houston and Eric Berry didn't play in those games, so you can't really draw too much from them. But just to get a feel for some of the key matchups, and then I'll just be writing on that for tomorrow morning. And then heading down to Gillette and seeing what transpires on Thursday night.
Yeah, and then the show starts. You're absolutely right in that. As writers, it's one thing, but I can't even imagine the coaching staff and Bill Belichick getting ready for this game right now. My guess is that they just kind of balked that fourth preseason game and got an early start on Kansas City for the most part. But my God, I mean, the roster cutdowns and the trades that they made, and then waivers on Sunday and then game on Thursday is brutal. That's a gauntlet.
Yep.
Adam, how about you?
I'll do my normal. Well, we already got our preview section out of the way, so that was a huge amount of writing to get done. I also reviewed the America's Game for today's paper, and that was a pretty interesting film. You know, very fun to watch. And then for the game, what I'll do is the Kraft, Jonathan Kraft phone call or interview on 98.5's pregame show. I'll also do a sidebar on the game, and I'll probably do either best and worst or, you know, one of those things. You know, for the game. And then, you know, I'm not sure exactly what my role is going to be tomorrow night, but it's going to be sidebar, Jonathan Kraft call, and something else.
That Jonathan Kraft call is something good, and some soundbite usually comes out of that. He's pretty candid on that most weeks, so that's always good. For me, check out the Boston Herald Patriots preview. Got a little bit of a historical look back on the maturations of the passing offense throughout the course of NFL history, all the way back to the 40s, coming all the way till now. So that's pretty cool. I think I got something coming out about the Patriots going for a yet another winning season, but going to be about 17 straight years if they pull it off again, which I think we all expect them to do. Be an NFL record when they do that. The 80s and 90s 49ers currently are tied with them with 16 such seasons. So that's going to be cool. And then after the game, I'll also have some player tracking stuff, hopefully some passing charts for Brady and whatnot. So that all will be great also. But follow through the three of us all on Twitter. Kevin, we're going to have you back on real soon, I'm sure. And thanks for doing the over-unders with us. But for Adam Kirchin, Kevin Duffy, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.
All right.